Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the French Rugby Podcast with me, Tim Groves, ex-Scotland international and adopted Frenchman, Johnny BT, and the unveiling of our second marquee signing of the season, Johnny. It's taken a while, hasn't it? But definitely worth the wait. Do you want to do the honours?
Well, he's been a busy man, but the best things do come to those that wait. Consistently one of the best back rows in the top 14, a mainstay of the French back row under Fabien Galthié, captain of La Rochelle on a regular basis now, was named as the number 8 in the World 15 for the year of 2022. And he's a little bit Scottish too, which makes it even better. So welcome, Greg Aldrett. How are you doing, Greg?
Thanks. Doing fine. A bit cold in La Rochelle, but I think it's cold a bit everywhere in Europe. So, no, everything's okay.
You were there, weren't you, Johnny, in La Rochelle at the weekend?
I was, mate, but I was embarrassed. It was -8. And I was meant to be doing the match day reporter for BT Sports. I was standing on the touchline asking questions, but it was so cold. I went and sat in like the studio car. I couldn't even watch. It was so cold. So respect all of the supporters that actually came out and watched and sat through the game. It was bitter. And for you guys at the end, like chatting to Big Will Skelton yourself a little bit, it was pretty bloody cold, but a great start for you boys, an awesome start to your campaign.
Is that as cold as you've played in down there, Greg, or does it get cold?
No, normally it's not cold like this because it's clear near to the sea, so normally we don't have like big temperatures. Even on summer we don't get really high, and winter really down. So, but this weekend was one of the weekend really cold. So, but it prepare us for the for this weekend for Ulster. So I think it should be really cold. So
we'll come on to that later on because there's some rumors around that game, but I don't know if you've heard any of them. First of all, though, it's great to have you on. We had you on before, but now you're going to come on kind of regularly every now and then. So how does it feel to be coming on a bit more regularly? Do you like this kind of thing? Do you like doing a bit of media?
Yeah, it's a great pleasure to be with you guys a bit more often, just to speak about rugby and to give to the people who's listening to us some insights and try to share with everybody what we're living every day.
Oh, mate, it's been a busy time for you. Like I have the impression that I've pretty much seen you play rugby every single weekend since the season started, straight from Autumn Internationals into Europe. So how's the body holding up? What does the Christmas period look like for you? Will you get a break at all, or is it just full steam ahead?
Well, it's been a busy start of season, like you said, but really interesting. And every year, top 14 is getting better and better. So every game is really complicated, and the week are more interesting as well. So everybody wants to play every weekend. After we got, the series and November series, which was a tough one as well. But my body is great. I had a week of break just after the November series, so I could rest a bit, and maybe should have maybe one more game before the Six Nations, because I can't play a game in a row, so I have to speak of that with Rog. But no, body is fine, and every Monday I've got a discussion with Rog, with the physio, with everybody at the club. They're following me really close.
You mentioned the autumn there. Before we move on to Champions Cup, we got to touch on that. It obviously went very well results-wise, but just talk us through how it went from your perspective and what Fabien said afterwards.
It was, of course, the objective of the series was to win the three games. So we did it. So we're really happy with that. We beat South Africa, which was, I think, one of the game we wanted to play for years and years. So really happy with that. But we saw that we need to keep working on, because we make the game difficult for us. We could have, I think, played much better against Australia, against South Africa, and even against Japan. So, like, Fabian don't like to talk after a series because he say, like, it's not the end of something. It's just like carry on. And when we will meet for the Six Nations, we need to have the sensation that it was yesterday that we left each other. So we'll maybe have a big debrief at the Six Nations the first week to prepare the first game and to see what we can increase. But no, really happy with the results, but we are aware that there is some work on the table.
And you mentioned that game in Marseille against South Africa. That was special. Like, the atmosphere was absolutely phenomenal. What was it like for a French side to take your games on the road, to be outside Paris, playing Toulouse, playing Marseille? Was that good fun as well for you all?
Yes, of course, of course. First, it was really, really good for us to go back at the Stade de France after the last game we played over there, Six Nations title, Grand Slam against England. So it was lots of pleasure to play over there. The atmosphere was unreal as well. Playing in France is always a pleasure as well, to go near our fans and to be close to them. And I think Vélodrome is the best stadium for that, because we've got the stand really close to the pitch, and there were an atmosphere unreal. I think one of the greatest emotion I had, I think, on the field, just because of the fans. And of course, Toulouse at the end, which was special for a lot of us, for the one playing in Toulouse, and for me, because I was born in Toulouse, so I had some family at the stadium. So it was as well a special game. So no, a really beautiful series for us.
And that South Africa game, obviously, you mentioned it there. You've clearly been building up to that one for a while, because you hadn't played them for ages. And I think you'd beaten every other top 10 team in the world before that. You won every game in 2022. New record winning streak for France. Clearly, there was a massive emphasis on that game. Did you kind of feel like you had a point to prove, I suppose?
Well, it was a massive game. I think all the team was prepared for it. And, you know, you can feel it during the week that you don't need to talk a lot. You don't need to say a lot about the game, because everybody has it in mind. It was a case for, of course, the Six Nations, the Black as well, All Black last year. And I felt it was the same for South Africa. You know, we worked a lot to be able to compete with a great team like South Africa, Australia, All Blacks. So when we are on a game week like this, we are aware of the difficulty of the game, and we work hard on the week, yeah, really hard. And I think nobody is saying no to the gym or to training. Like, everybody's ready.
And when you look back now, as Tim mentioned, you won every single test in 2022. When you started your French career, your international career, did you think that was going to be possible with this French squad? And what do you think the keys to success are? You just touched on the mindset, people not needing to speak, but it's unbelievable. It's a huge achievement. So what have been the keys to the squad, the coaching staff, and just how good is it to be part of at the minute?
Well, you know, the first Six Nations with Fabien, he told us, I want to win every single game until the World Cup. So first, we say, well, okay, I want to win every single game as well. But he was really serious about it. And he had a plan, a really precise plan. And it started with a big home game against England. I don't know if you remember. It was in 2020 at the Stade de France. And we won this game. We won then in Italy. We won in Wales. And we lost in Scotland in Murrayfield, which was a terrible game for us. But we learned a lot. We learned really a lot about this game. I think it was one of the most important lessons for us. And after this game, I think after this tournament, everybody had in mind that we could do great thing. And we just kept going game after game, and with a beautiful squad as well. Because even on a summer series, they did some rotation. They put some players, they rest some players, and everybody was getting here really motivated. And like I say, we've got a really simple game plan. We just need to put attitude in it, to put energy, and it works. So for us players, it's as well, like, easy.
No pressure, though. Fabian comes straight in, expect to win every game until the World Cup. That's it. Did you have that at Scotland, Johnny?
No. I never had that with Scotland, but I had it with Fabian in Montpellier. Fabian's easily the best coach that I've worked with. And it's different for Greg because Greg's better than I ever was. But the best rugby I ever got out of myself was playing with Fabian as my coach, because the simplicity of the game plan meant that you didn't get too much wrong. It was constantly positive action, opening doors, going through gaps or tackle breaks or offloads where possible, because he creates everything, gives very simple vision of how he wants you to play. And then you just have to go and execute with attitude. It's kind of what Greg said there. We refer to it as painting by numbers. Like you put like blue there and then this happens. You put green there, this happens. And that's what it was like with Fabian. When you work with great coaches, the high-end performance stuff kind of flows. That being said, you need to have very, very good players in each position to execute. And that's what France have got at the minute. But easily, and I guess loads of other coaches will be wanting the same thing, and other players are wanting the same thing as well. They just want simplicity, direction, and a very simple template to go and work with. And that's what France have. That's why they're so hard to beat. That's why, for instance, Wales will be harder to beat now they've brought Warren Gatland back in. A simple game plan, easy to execute, and you just add the rest, the ingredients required. And that's where France are at the minute. That's why it's so much fun to watch them.
And Johnny mentions Wales there. There's been loads of talk on this side of the world, Wales changing their head coach, England changing their head coach. Sean Edwards always comes up in those conversations. We already know he signed a 4-year contract again with France. He's obviously really happy there. But give us a word on your relationship with Sean and how good he's been for that environment.
Well, Sean is really, really important for us, for the team. First, when he arrived, he gave us this mentality in defense. No easy works, always like fight. You know, at training, he was always behind us, like fight. And I think this was maybe missing for in France, because we always spoke of the French flair, of the beauty of the French plays, and. But maybe we missed a bit of this fighting spirit, and Sean really brought us this stuff to us.
How's his French going?
Better and better. He's taking a lesson. But you know, Sean always told me when I was player, I didn't like the coach's video to be really long, you know, analyst to be really long. So when he's going to the board or to the video, is really, really short, maybe 3-4 words, that's it.
And that's why he's universally loved by every single player he's ever had, because they're like, that's the best part of Sean, is no messing around, no bullshit, short videos, get out and train and get on with it. Everyone loves
exactly
him.
Well, we will come on to the Champions Cup shortly, I promise. We're right in the thick of it at the moment. But Johnny, one bit of France news that has come out this week, not good news. Just tell us what's going on with Bernard Laporte, because we know there was a case going on. We know there'll also be an appeal, but what's going on?
Well, he's been given a suspended prison sentence of 2 years, a €75,000 fine. He's also been stood down from his role as the vice chair of World Rugby. That being said, he'll appeal everything. So I guess the only question is his role as president of FFR. We're on the performance side of the business, you know, him coming with Fabian. Things have been going extremely well. I guess that's the only hitch that we'll see, is if he stays on his presidency with FFR or if he moves on. But as we said, innocent until proven guilty, and I assume he will appeal everything that came out yesterday.
And obviously we won't ask you about the ongoing case or anything, Greg, but Bernard Laporte himself, how involved is he in the setup generally? Because obviously he was a coach, now he's higher up the chain, but does he get him quite involved or not?
Well, he's president of the French rugby, so he has lots of duty to do, but when he can come and have a chat with us, he tried to do it, and we are really kind on it with all the players, because he was one of the greatest French rugby trainers. He trained some legend for us. When he tell you some stories about like Johnny Wilkinson back his butter, every single Toulon player he had over there, like. We all, like kids with big eyes, were listening to him. So Yeah, when he can come to see us, he's doing it.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
We're partnering with Manscaped in the lead up to Christmas, aren't we, Johnny? So before we tell you how good they are and where you can get yourself a Manscaped razor, Greg, we've got a couple we can send down to La Rochelle. So who's your hairiest teammate? Who needs one the most? Who's got the biggest bush in La Rochelle?
Well, I think I'll give one to Willy because normally he has a big beard, you know, and normally he used to do like a beautiful trucker mole, like beautiful one for a few games. And the thing is, he didn't do it for years now. So I would love to see him with his big trucker's mole like this. Like.
A bit of pruning.
Upstairs and downstairs pruning.
I don't know. The best one for me, like I played with the Evans brothers, so Max and Tom Evans, who like were shaved within an inch. They didn't have a stitch of hair on their body. Everything was shaved. And then I obviously followed Max over to France, ended up in Cast with him. And it was almost like he'd gone on a time capsule. He went completely 70s. Everything went Afro downstairs. So if he's still got it now and he's still rocking it, I'll send my Manscaped to Max Evans.
Max and Tom, they can share them with their partners, all sorts, Johnny.
Too much. Too much.
We'll send Weenie and Max a Manscaped razor. And for anyone else who wants one, they really are genuinely good. And you can get your hands on any of the Manscaped products with 20% off. And free shipping as well. All you have to do is go to manscaped.com and enter the code LEFRENCH. That's LEFRENCH at manscaped.com. Right, let's talk about the Champions Cup. And we've obviously got the captain of the reigning champions. And this doesn't work on an audio platform, but for anyone watching the video, Greg has got a little star above his shoulder, hasn't he, Johnny? Perfectly placed.
I mean, he was telling us it was just part of the Christmas tree, but actually it's because... the stars all around this house because he can have one now because he's a Champions Cup winner. We get it. It's pretty cool.
Before we come on to this season, Greg, just take us back to Marseille and the scenes in the port, especially at La Rochelle when you got back in May. Where does that rank in terms of the best days of your life?
Definitely is in the top three of my best days. Top one on my sports small career. Now it was... just incredible. Incredible to see 35,000 people on the harbor when you know that La Rochelle is 70,000 people, you know. It's really a religion here, and I think plenty of people was waiting for a title. And it was really great to bring them this trophy on the harbor. Really great as well because I've been there for 6 years and I knew plenty of players before. Who gave everything for this club and had to stop without the title. So it was as well a great moment to as well like award them as well because all their works lead us to this title as well. It's not only the 23 who was on the pitch.
It's crazy. I went for a walk around the port at the weekend, so just before the game, went for a walk around. And it's a lovely, beautiful port. If you get a chance to visit La Rochelle, that's my second time there and actually stepped out the hotel to see it. It's a beautiful place, but I could not fathom how they got that many people on the port, as large as it is and as big like the big square is. I couldn't believe the volume of people that you look back now and you see the photos. It's incredible. And it must have been an incredible memory. There's been a lot of talk around the change in the format as well of the competition, Greg. It is a wee bit too complicated. Like, would you like to see it go back to the old school group stages that we saw when old people like I was playing, or are you quite happy with the way it goes now?
When I was a kid, I didn't have like the Canal Plus or the channel, private channel. So I was only watching Ash Cup, the old Ash Cup and the Six Nations, you know, so... Of course, the European Cup is special for me, but everything is changing years after years. So now it's changed. We've got South Africa now in the competition. Maybe, like Antoine Dupont said, it's not the European Cup now, but I agree with him. But we need to go forward now. So they're in the competition. So we need to welcome them and to try to find a benefit of them in the competition with us and try to step on, like. But of course, there is a part of me who would love to come back to the old competition. But I think life is like this. We need to have an evolution and to go forward.
The traditionalist in me hates it as well. Like, it's the European Cup. It's no longer the European Cup. It's a Champions Cup. But does the thought of, like, moving away from the tradition and the history, does the thought of playing against a South African franchise like the Sharks excite you? Like, the prospect of facing them in a quarter final or a semi final, that could also be quite exciting.
Yes, of course. As I said to some teammates, I said, now that we have the South African in the Champions Cup, like, I would have loved to play it in South Africa for the pool stage and maybe for a quarterfinal, I'll play quarterfinal in La Rochelle, but no, of course, I would love to play a South African team to measure us to them to see the level. Even if we kind of know the level of the South Africans, they're a really good team, really physical team. So no, it's gonna add a new challenge and. And I think the cup will be harder to win, and it will give you maybe more pleasure when you will win it.
I bet you'd have loved to have been playing away at a South African franchise at the weekend, Greg, because it was -8 in La Rochelle. It looked like it was 20-odd degrees in South Africa.
Yeah, I saw some Instagram of a few guys from Lyon who was doing safari under the sun. Lucky guys.
Next year, mate. Hopefully the draw organised and you'll get there. What has it been like in terms of motivating yourself? There's been differences in the squad, a little bit of change, but we mentioned that star behind you. You now are European champions. Do you think you now are no longer an unknown quantity, but you now have a target on your backs because everyone now knows how good La Rochelle are?
Yeah, of course, maybe we've got a target in the back, but same war with the French team. Like we worked a lot and we dreamed to be at this place. To have this target in the back. So now that we have it, we need to assume the position and to work harder and to fight harder every weekend. And just a new challenge. We're not used to this kind of challenge, but we are ready for it. I think the staff and Ronan knows how to do it and how to prepare us to every single game. So we're just waiting and we are looking forward every weekend of Champions Cup to go up on the pitch.
Well, you've mentioned there the success of the two teams and the two men we've talked about already, Fabian and Rog. You're very, very lucky that already you're working with two superb coaches. But if you were to give us a little bit of insight, how would you compare and contrast the two men in terms of their styles, the way they get you operating on the field and their personalities?
It's difficult because I've got Fabien Galthié, who is manager of a national team, and Ronan for a club. I think it's not the same management. It's totally different. But what I could say is they're both passionate in rugby. I think they could eat, sleep, and watch rugby all the week. You know, Rog is sending us some WhatsApp video, you know, of the training some night at 11:30 or even midnight. So I think they are really into passionate of rugby.
Do you reply straight away to those, Greg?
Well, I watch them. No, they're both passionate, yeah. But it's difficult to compare because you have one manager of a national team and another one for a club. And, you know, it's totally different management. So, but they're all, yeah, both passionate and really on the details. It pushes you to be better and better every week.
I think that's what comes across, isn't it, Johnny? You've mentioned your time working under Fabien Galthié before, and Ronan does seem very similar in terms of the psychological and the mental side of things, and in terms of a game plan, those fine details.
Yeah, so both, I would say, intense from the outside, that comes across, but that intensity, when it's channeled well into an outstanding game plan, means the product you have as a squad and on the field is outstanding. And that's what La Rochelle and France offer at the minute. That's why they're so much fun to watch. The difficulty with coaching staffs is when you get somebody that has that intensity, but then doesn't have the rugby knowledge or the rugby IQ and just pressurizes and shouts and it doesn't come across well. Where both of these guys have got both in abundance. They've got the intensity, but they've got the rugby insight, knowledge, detail, everything that's Greg mentioned in spades. And that's why they're so good to work for. And that is why France have re-signed Fabien Galthié. They've tied him down. And that is why La Rochelle have now tied down Rog until 2027, which is an excellent move for the club.
And in terms of Ronan O'Gara, Greg, we know he's in the middle of this big bam. Because he's so intense and the way he is, how is he handling that?
I think the one most disappointed is him. So I think he would love to be on the side of the pitch, cheering for us. But this is Rog's intent. He will do anything to defend the players and the team and the club. But like when you're too passionate or too intense, sometimes you do some stuff you didn't want to. But well, I think he's the one. The most disappointed and. Is the one paying the big price of it.
How does that work for you guys on a game day now? Because obviously with somebody used to bossing it and giving out instructions, I'm assuming that nothing will change in the week. Like your training with Rog will be the same, your reviews of games, your previews, your building up to weekend. But then actually on your game day, like I saw Donnacha Ryan was doing quite a bit at the weekend. Is it him that leads all the messages and things and leads team talks, or who takes charge of that stuff when Rog is sat on the naughty step?
Well, you know, on a normal week, after the game, the captain just before the captain run, in fact, the staff is done. Yeah, the week of the staff is done. It's up to the players and to the leaders. So during a game day, well, we have all the preparation is the same at our training facilities, and after we go up to the stadium. And everybody know what they have to do. A few leaders have to talk on special moments, and then I'm back to the locker room. First off, at halftime, it's Donnacha of course speaking about the lineouts. We've got Romain Carmignani speaking defense. We've got Seb Bobou speaking offense. So in fact, like everybody do their job, and at the end we finish with a word all together and back to it. So no, honestly, it doesn't change a lot for us. Of course, when maybe Roger have something to say, like he have to go by someone, or I don't know how they work, but maybe harder for him to pass a message. But for us player, we don't feel a big difference for us. Like we will not use this excuse if we do a bad game.
Well, Johnny mentioned how you motivate yourself to go again now you've won it and try and retain the trophy. Whatever Ronan has said, it clearly did the trick, because at the weekend you couldn't have started any better than that. 46-0 up after 50 minutes against Northampton. Was that the plan? Did you expect it to be like that?
Of course not. We watched Northampton. They were a really good team, but like we said, you know, the pool stage, it's go really quick. It's really fast. We don't know as well about the rest of the Champions Cup. Maybe we play only two games in La Rochelle. So the first one, we wanted to put lots of energy, just loads and loads of energy and give everything. Don't wait for the second game or third game or fourth game to maybe have a look at the standings and say, well, we need 5 points there. We put everything on the first game. Then we have a good week. We put everything on the second game and that's it. Game after game like this and trying to go as far as we can.
And Johnny, if you're picking a standout performance of week one, not just because Greg's on, it probably would be La Rochelle. What else stood out for you in terms of the French sides in round one?
Well, there's a few poor ones. Racing, again, I didn't expect them. I mean, everyone knows how good Leinster are. Greg, you've come up against them many times, as have I. They're a bit of an institution, but I didn't expect them to be battered as badly as they were by Leinster. They had to move their game to Le Havre.
Do you think that had a big effect?
Well, I just think it's soulless. Like, even at the defence arena, you're on synthetic. It's a different experience. The players are used to it. You've got your home support. Things are familiar. And you know you've got a little X factor above other teams because you're playing on a carpet that other teams aren't used to. I think when you move out to Le Havre, your fan base isn't there. And I just think as well, they got some things on the field wrong. Like, they kicked out a lot. They gave Leinster a platform, probably thinking because their lineout hasn't been great this season. But I think they won 100% of their 20 plus lineouts, and that gave them a platform to, you know, churn up ground, be organized, take away gain line, get over a gain line and go forward. And when you're playing against a really well drilled team like Leinster with Stu Lancaster, who's coming into Racing, you just find yourself clutching at straws and chasing shadows and chasing the game. And that's exactly where they were. So they came off a really poor second best. And I don't think that bodes well now for, I think for certain French sides that have lost their home game. I think with the maybe lack of compassion for the fact that South African sides are coming in, will they take it as seriously now when the top 14, as Greg mentioned at the start, the product is better than it's ever been, but that means it's more difficult than it's ever been. So the bread and butter has to be the top 14. If you can compete on both fronts, like La Rochelle, good. But I think for Racing now, like, not completely flying in the top 14, that was a big disappointing loss for them at home.
It's an interesting one, Greg, because traditionally the French teams, your home is your fortress, and for Racing, they obviously have a concert at their home ground. They move it to Le Havre. That would never happen in La Rochelle, would it?
Definitely not. No. The stadium, the city is all around rugby, and if they had a concert, they would put the concert on the away game, of course. But I can't speak for the Racing players, but for me, if I can't play in La Rochelle, I need to move. Even if I know that the fan will move as well with us, it's not the same feeling, of course.
Toulouse had a big away win in Munster, Greg. How big a rivalry is there now building between your two teams? You've had massive games between you over the past few seasons, and you know each other really well. But are Toulouse the team to beat for you this year in this competition?
No, I don't think there is one team to beat for us. Because last year we were champion without beating Toulouse, you know what I mean? So we just need to be focused on the pool stage, you know, and after we'll see who's on the 16 and on the quarterfinal, and that's it. And we'll see. But of course, Toulouse is one of the massive team, and like you said, like Leinster, Toulouse, even Saracens, or I don't know. I think there will be plenty of other good team to beat. So more and more, like you said, of course, top 14 is starting to be harder and harder every year, but Champions Cup as well. So this is a dream of every player to have big game and massive challenge every weekend.
When you have those games against also some of your best mates, so when you're playing against Antoine Dupont, who's a really close friend of yours, do you give each other some banter in the week up to the game? Are you able to send a few text messages, or when you get into French national camp, does it come up?
Well, of course we have a few texts during the week, but not about the game. Like, we don't speak rugby together. Of course, I had a few kind words with the French team. More after the two final we lost against them, they were happy. Antoine Dupont offered me like a twice vice champion casket hat. And we was on holidays, so it was tough to put it on the head. But after, of course, when we're on the field, we all want to win, and me the first, I would love to beat Toulouse. But outside the pitch, we're just like friends, and we don't even speak rugby, you know.
Johnny mentioned earlier on, you have been non-stop rugby for a while. It seems like you're playing every week. We're around this time of year where it's Christmas. Most people have a break. You mentioned you might be getting a break because you've played so many games. So have you got a kind of plan for this period of the year? And are you going to be able to relax a little bit?
Well, no plan at all. No plan at all. We all the players have 4 days after after the 23 of December. So I can go back to the south of France to have Christmas with all the family. I've got my brother living in Scotland who is coming home as well. Everybody going to the Osh, to the parent place, and just enjoying a turkey or some duck. But no plans at all. But you know, after all the season, like my mind is focused on rugby every day. You know, but every time I'm coming home, I don't watch rugby. I don't speak about rugby. I'm watching National Geographic instead of Canal Plus Sport. But you know, just this is my way to clear my mind as well.
Until Ronan texts you at 11:30 at night and says, "Watch this video." And at your Christmas, you mentioned there your brother coming over from Scotland. Do you have a bit of a mixture of French and Scottish at Christmas? Is there any, does he bring some whiskey over, or how does it work?
Yes, normally everybody like bring a bit some stuff from their region. So maybe I get down with oysters and or seafood. Yes. Normally Scott, my brother, is always coming back so with haggis. So we'll have maybe haggis on the 26th or 27th. But
we should have it on the 25th, mate. Come on, have it on Christmas Day.
No, it can be the number one meal, but maybe number two, number three.
Mate, is he still playing for Stuart's Melville?
No, not this year. Yeah, he had stopped because working the works took more and more time, so I had to have a break.
Sounds like Greg's Christmas and yours are pretty similar, Johnny.
Mate, I will be flying back to Scotland and stuffing my face. I'm looking forward to flying back to Scotland and handing my three children over to their grandparents and having a bit of a rest, not working at any rugby, not doing anything during the week, taking 2 weeks completely off and probably coming back 10 kilos heavier.
And before we move on, what did you make of Cass, Johnny, your old club at home to Exeter?
Difficult, mate, because even their prep, like my old mate Rory Cockett, who's been a coach for the first time for the past 6 months, had to get his kit on and sit on the bench. He even got off the bench, which was ridiculous. My old mate Tom Akombozu as well did his ACL ligament at the weekend, which I think that means the end of his career. So they came through the game with a couple of big injuries. And even before the game, there was stuff like, I'm not sure if you saw Greg Pierre-Henri Broncan, the coach, was asking EPCR to change the game because they wanted to watch England-France. Could they change the game so they could play it the next day? So I don't know, like I just didn't get that the focus was really there. A couple of bad injuries. And like once you, again, start on the back foot against a side like Exeter with Stuart Hogg, with Simmons, with top rugby players, it's always going to be tricky. And that's another club as well. Now that they've lost that first game at home, I'm not sure what their ambitions will be in the next couple of rounds in this competition. So a disappointing start for them.
Did you see the incident with Poe coach Sebastian Piccaroni, Johnny, and referee Sam Grove-White?
I have seen it. I think you've probably seen it as well, Greg. It's a difficult one because everyone you speak to at Poe, or everyone you speak to that came through the under-20s with him as their coach, love him. But I just think he's lost his head and it's a moment of madness. And now he's going to get a massive ban. Like, you cannot touch a referee. You just can't do it. Like, even like if you look at Wayne Barnes and the abuse with Razzy Erasmus, now his family getting threats, like Wayne Barnes is looking at stopping refereeing. And I think, again, now with Sam Grove-White, like if you stick your hands on a referee, no matter what the context of the situation, you're looking at a massive ban. And that could have serious repercussions for Poe because he is a top quality head coach. He's done really well with them. I'm not sure when his disciplinary commission is going to take place, but he's looking at a few month ban. That is going to be absolutely huge.
Right. We'll have a quick chat about the second round of Champions Cup games shortly. But first, we should find out what your meter moment of the week is, Johnny.
It comes from La Rochelle.
Oh, coincidence.
But it isn't Greg. It isn't you, mate. I'm sorry. But there's a little fella at the back who's more my generation, still trucking, and he was outstanding to watch at the weekend. Brice Doulin, tries, pace, footwork, kicking ability, 50-22s, banana kicks, and he looked like he was having a great time doing it. So my meter moment of the weekend, this weekend, obviously off the back of all the decent and hard work done up front was the performance of Brice Doulin carving up against Northampton in minus 8 degrees. He was top class.
Now we've got you on, Greg, we should really send out a meter. We should send a meat thermometer over to Greg to pass on to Brice.
Have you got one, Greg?
No.
You'll be getting sent one tomorrow, mate.
Oh, great.
You can use it for your haggis on Christmas Day. There we go. That was Johnny's meter moment of the week. And meter is the world's number one wireless meat thermometer, recently making over 20 million cooks better with their game-changing app and completely wireless Bluetooth meat probe. You can use it on a barbecue, in the oven, or in a pan, and you can get your hands on one at meter.com. Plus, you can now get 10% off any full-price item. All you have to do is enter the code FrenchPod10 at checkout. That's FrenchPod10, and you'll get 10% off any full-price item at meter.com. Right, Champions Cup, you're off to Belfast, Greg, or maybe Dublin, if according to the rumours. You mentioned minus eight in La Rochelle at the weekend. It's going to be cold in Ireland this week, and there have been rumours it might be put back 24 hours or moved to Dublin. Have you heard anything or not?
Well, we heard some rumours, but nothing definitive, so we're just waiting for the UPCR to tell us what we need to do.
And during your prep this week, have you watched Ulster's performance last week, or have you rubbished that game? Because that was really unlike them. They went to Sale and they got absolutely cuffed. They had travel disruptions and it was a bit weird. I'm assuming you'll be expecting a tougher challenge than what they produced at Sale at the weekend.
Well, we watched a bit of a few less game of Ulster. Of course, not only the one of last week. They played against Leinster as well. They did a massive game against Leinster. So we watched a few games here of them. We know that they are a big team. Same with Roj, Donaka, and even Ulten. We have a few Irish guy who told us it's really difficult to go play to Belfast. We know as well the atmosphere they have with their fans at the moment. They had a difficult time, and what we said all together, it was imagine if we were at their place, what reaction will be yours? So we just need to be ready to a massive, massive fight. I think it's going to be one of the toughest games of the season.
And you guys have been good away from home in Europe in recent years. There is an old stereotype about French teams that they don't travel well. Can we just completely dispel that now? It isn't the case anymore, is it? French teams do travel well if they're taking the competition seriously. Do you think there has been a sea change? What has changed in terms of the mentality in European competition for French teams traveling away?
Don't want to talk too early because otherwise you're gonna. Well, we just before as well. Like honestly, the Champions Cup was played by two teams in France. Now you see that all the teams were engaged. When you see this year with Toulouse, Montpellier, La Rochelle, Bordeaux, every single team is playing the Champions Cup to go as far as they can. I think. Maybe Johnny can say it as well, but I think five years ago, maybe Toulouse Racing was playing the Champions Cup. So this is maybe the biggest change.
And apart from La Rochelle's game, Johnny, what are the other picks of round two that you're looking forward to?
I'm really looking forward to Toulouse against Sale, purely because Sale had a massive win last weekend against Ulster. So they'll be going to Toulouse optimistic. Although a lot of teams have gone to Toulouse optimistically in the past and been absolutely pumped. But I'm looking forward to Sale bringing that physicality. They play a nice brand of rugby and we know what Toulouse offers. So I'm hoping the clash of styles this weekend in that game, and that's on Sunday, will be fairly epic. I'm looking forward to watching that one.
And Greg, you mentioned you don't really watch any rugby, but you do watch football and France are about to play Morocco. So we better let you go soon. Any other games that you're looking forward to this weekend or not?
No, of course, I'll be watching Toulouse as well. I watch rugby only when I have friends playing. So even Pro D2, love to watch Pro D2 as well to see some friends playing. But of course, I think Toulouse Sale, and that's it. No, not a lot of it. I hope we don't play on Sunday because I was hoping to have a little golf on Sunday. So.
Strangely, did you see the state of Seb Vamahina's nose at the weekend?
No, I didn't see.
Oh my days. So his nose started here. It's now finished over by his ear. I'm looking forward to Leicester play against Clermont as well. And particularly if he gets to wear one of those Batman masks, you know what Aaron Ordick used to wear when he broke his nose, he'd have the Batman mesh. I think that's another big game as well. Leicester-Clermont will be huge. Clermont going through their sort of own little transition, I think it'd be fair to say, with coaching and players, and going to a Leicester side that are really hard to break down. So looking forward to that one. And then Quins v Racing is another one randomly. I think Racing will still put out their big dogs and their big guns, and they'll go and they'll try and batter Quins. But Quins also play a really exciting, fast, quick brand of rugby. So I'm looking forward to that game too. There's a few ones this weekend that will be really good to watch. The other one, weirdly, is Bordeaux. So they're without Luku and Lesgourgues, and they're at home to the Sharks, one of the South African sides. Yannick Brew is coming with the Sharks, but he's coaching for Bordeaux next season. So that'll be really interesting. But I'm like you. We're recording Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. We've got an hour until kickoff, France against Morocco. So I'm looking forward to getting a beer in my hand with some mates and looking forward to watching the game coming up in an hour. Give us your prediction, Greg.
Well, I hope France, of course. We're watching the game at Reda Wardy's place. So where we saw the result on the weekend, we said to Reda, we're all coming at your place because he's American. So he would be cheering Morocco, I think, or maybe... Maybe France. Like, he's in the best position because he's 50-50, so he can choose at the end of the game.
Well, from an Englishman, Greg, good luck in the World Cup semi-final and good luck over in Ulster at the weekend.
Thanks. I think this week will be the hardest game of the World Cup for sure.
Harder than the England game. I like it. Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, Greg, for joining us as well. And we look forward to chatting to you more as the season goes on as well. And thanks to all you guys for listening. Make sure you hit subscribe. Leave us a nice review if you can as well. Check us out on Rugby Pass and on YouTube, and we'll be back with another episode next week. Au revoir, guys.
Cheers, boys.
Bye-bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.